This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
You're listening to The Rainbow Report.
Well, she's been doing it for years. Now she's doing it with the help of one of our former general managers, and she's doing it bigger and better than ever. And she joins us in the studio now, Lisa Daniel, director of the Melbourne Queer Film Festival. Hello, Lisa.
That almost sounds a little obscene, really, that intro. I thought with the old, you know,
give you a bit of a boost there.
Yeah,
give you a bit
thank
of a
you very
build
much.
Up.
Talking
you know.
Up your reputation around
yes.
town, at least.
I'm not sure Danae would be happy, or Danae's partner would be happy with that intro.
Oh, Danae's adorable, though. She's part of the wife.
I know she is, but we're not doing it together. We're doing a festival together.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Just to clarify.
How's it all going then? You must be absolutely in the thick of it at the moment.
We are
just
in the thick of
about
it.
To kick off, aren't
we
you?
We are in the thick. We open on Thursday and we are sold out for opening night. So
wow.
Check eBay maybe. I've got a ticket that I bought for my brother-in-law and he can't come, so I could possibly scalp it on the night. I'll see what I can do. So, sold out.
For good cause, of course.
What is your opening night movie?
It's a film called Cloudburst, which is made by a Canadian gay director who usually makes gay theme stories. The film's called Cloudburst, and it stars Olympia Dukakis and Brenda Fricker. So it's about older lesbians. And it's a comedy drama, hilariously written, incredibly well acted, fantastic cast. Mm. It's a little bit kind of Thelma and Louise. Is a bit of sort of cross country driving and a bit of sort of, you know, crossing borders and you know, a little bit of a marriage theme to it, but it's very, very funny. Pretty saucy.
It sounds like a good combination.
Though. Yeah, yeah, it is.
It sounds like a good combination.
Yes.
In the past, I've been to a couple of the queer film festivals in the past, and I have to say that some of the times it seemed, in the distant past anyway, that you had a bit of a struggle to fill a whole festival, but that doesn't seem to be anything like a problem anymore, does it?
Yeah, well, I started 14 years ago, I think it's 15 years ago, and this is my 14th festival, or something like that, you know, once it gets to 10, you just sort of lose track, really. And when I first started, there was 30 sessions, now there's, you know, 95, you know, and there was always a little bit of filler somewhere, like you'd have your big ticket items and you'd have your great documentaries and that sort of thing, but there would be, to get a decent sort of week's festival, there would be a bit of filler. Now we're having to say no to things and hold things off for the following year because we just don't have enough room. But, you know, I don't think it justifies going to 3 weeks or anything like that, but I think 11 or 12 days, which is what we're sitting at the moment, just gives us a really, really good quality festival. And look, we're all about the quality and not the quantity. I mean, I don't want to put in, you know, 300 films and go back to the filler and trying to find things that, you know, just because they're queer. I think that's a bit insulting to an audience. And we're such a, you know, big movie-going town that I think it's important to remember that quality is king and you know, if people are paying good money to see film, they want to see something that is, you know, well made and, you know, gets a message across and is relevant to their, you know, interests.
Well, I think that's a good problem to have, isn't it?
It is a good problem to have.
To have more than you can fit in
yes,
is much
hard
better
to explain
than
to filmmakers sometimes.
Oh, well. Yes.
And it is, you know, things don't get rejected because they're bad. All the time. I mean, obviously, we get about 600 submissions and we screen 160 films. So, well, you know, there's a lot of bad things in there, but there's also a lot of good things that just don't seem to fit into the program thematically or lengthwise.
We've got a disgruntled listener here saying the festival has no films included from Greece this year.
Well, they don't make them. This is, I mean, we chase, it's very frustrating. We had a fantastic Greek film last year called Black Field, and we searched all of the sort of Greek databases and the festivals and just absolutely nothing. It's very frustrating. And Italy is the same. We've got a couple of feature films from Italy this year, but Greece is a tough one. And
why do you think that is?
I'm not really sure. Look, it's hard to know. I mean, the Greek film industry is like the rest of Greece at the moment in a bit of
basket.
Trouble.
Mm.
And, you know, that's unfortunate. So, you know, obviously that's not a priority, but we haven't had a lot of Greek films over the years anyway, even shorts. Like, it's just, they're always really, really hard to get. And the Greek film, the organisation Greek Film, I think it's called the GFO or something, really, really difficult to deal with in terms of, you know, once, if there is a Greek film, getting a print out of the country and into Australia is difficult. So, yeah, look, it is absolutely something we chase. You know, same with Asian films. There's not a lot of good Asian films around this year. You know, we do try and put the best in that we can. Happily, there's a Polish film this year. I mean, you know, Eastern Europe is not your, your hub of queer activity. So having a Polish film is fantastic.
Except for cheap porn.
Yes, well, that's true. Well, I wouldn't know. You'll have to yeah. speak for me. So, yeah. So, rest assured, we are searching for Greek films, but you know, it's just a matter of them not being made.
Where's your hotspots? Where's the best place for LGBTI movies now?
Yeah, look, I mean, obviously, the USA is a big filmmaking country, so you know, a lot of the stuff comes from there. But the really good place is South America at the moment. We're getting a lot of really good stuff from Argentina. We've got a great feature from Chile this year. Yeah, all those sorts of places make. Lots of good shorts and, you know, a couple of Mexican films, you know, really interesting stuff. They don't sort of follow the typical kind of genre structure that you see with American films. So, I mean, Americans are still making interesting films, but you do get a lot of really fluffy, accessible stuff from the States. But you get some really interesting stuff from South America.
Have we got away from, I mean, there was a time when it seemed like every ruddy gay film I went to see was about coming out.
Yeah.
Have we kind of grown out of that now?
We are, yeah. We've been moving away from that for a long time. Look, I think there's always going to be a spot and a place for coming out films. I mean, you know, you speak to anyone that's coming out as a young person or even an older person and, you know, coming out films are relevant, but they're just not being made as much. I mean, people are making different films. They're making great stories that just happen to have queer characters in them.
Yeah, which is the maturity of the community.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. And, you know, you are seeing more coming out films from places like Eastern Europe because it is a big issue there. Whereas, you know, in the States and even in South America and places where, say, there's equal marriage, coming out is not such a big deal anymore.
I was going to say, is it more a maturation of our lives in certain parts of the world now that we've moved on from almost one-dimensional characters, the coming out stories or dating with issues like that, dating films? I mean, I just noticed one, I was just flicking through, I looked at Four More Years, which is out of Sweden, of course. Sweden's relatively advanced, and it's like, I just find it interesting to read about an utterly charming romantic comedy.
Well, the kind of twist
sort of
the twist in Four More Years is not so much about the actual gay element. I mean, it's about a straight man who is around about 40, is a politician, and he sort of starts rethinking his life and decides, you know, falls in love with this guy. And it's, you know, that's kind of the one level of it. But the funniest part is that he's falling in love with a guy who's from the opposing political arena. So that's kind of the joke. And so that's what I mean about, you know, you're getting great stories.
And you're getting
multiple
dimensions to a person.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's a great film. It's quite hilarious. So I hope people go and see it.
Our Greek correspondent says, thanks for that explanation. It was greatly appreciated. Clearly, there haven't been any government grants from the Greek government this year.
No. Arts and culture and film industry suffering terribly in Greece, and I feel sad for them because they do make great films when they can get their money going. Mm. Blackfield last year was one of my favourite films in the past decade. So, but yeah, very few and far between. I can count the Greek features on one hand in the last 14 years.
You mentioned Spain as well as being
Spain and funnily Sweden. Like, we're getting a lot of stuff from Iceland and Sweden and places and Switzerland and places like that. So the Scandinavian countries are coming to the fore too. But yes, Spanish films been pretty solid for quite a few years.
Well, they've become bigger on the world stage as well, haven't they? So it's good that the gay films are coming along with it.
I'd hate to put a film name into a question, but anything out of Africa? sorry. Because I think
we've got a South African feature called Beauty, which is you know, it's English subtitled, so it's in Afrikaans. Again, like Greece, you very rarely get things out of Africa or South Africa. You certainly don't get them from the other parts of Africa.
Because there's just so many cultural challenges out of Africa.
Yes,
you know, some of the governments over there, of course, are quite terrible.
I was going to say, you're not going to find much coming out of Zimbabwe.
No. We have an activism package, a focus on activism this year, and part of that was, you know, nearly every day I was getting emails in my inbox sort of saying, you know, queers are getting murdered in Uganda, lesbians being raped in South Africa, and all these sorts of, and I thought, you know, we're kind of a little bit on easy street here. We still don't have gay marriage, but, you know, I would hope, like to think that we eventually will. Well, other people are dying in the streets.
Indeed.
And being murdered. So, you know, trans people are suffering all over the world. So that's why we kind of built this activism package. And, you know, ideally it would have been great to get films out of places like, you know, Uganda and South Africa and those. They just don't exist.
No, well, I mean, it's hardly going to be safe to try and make them, isn't
it?
Well,
it'd be impossible to make them. It'd be just as impossible to get them out. It's like China at the moment. It's like South Korea. North Korea, you know, it's very difficult to make those films. But even if you do make them, you just can't get them out of the country, even by a private courier. They just, you know, the post is searched and you just can't get them out. So,
but the only way would be to make friends with a diplomat and put them in the diplomatic bag, I suppose.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's pretty risky, isn't it?
Well, you'd have to pick your diplomat with care, wouldn't you?
Yeah. But, you know, just making a film like that is just really hard. So, you know, the activism package doesn't include things from Uganda, but it certainly does broach issues around, you know, equal marriage and, you know, can filmmakers be activists? There's some transphobia, trans panic defence stuff going on. There's a lot of great panels around the activism subject.
Have you got any particular favourites?
Well, you can't really go past Codependent Lesbian Space Alien Seek Same.
That we heard earlier.
With a title like that,
yes.
Yeah, and I did see it in San Francisco at the Frameline Film Festival, and it's a real crowd film. Like, you know, it's great watching it on a DVD by yourself, but it's really fun with a room full of people. It's kind of, for anyone who remembers the Ed Wood type of, you know, sort of horror, spoofy, sci-fi stuff. Very much like that. You know, we're talking special effects, which include, you know, plastic cups on the ears as, you know, headphones and that sort of thing. It's wacky and it's really well acted and written and that
Well,
sort
if
of
it's
thing,
anything so. Like the Ed Wood stuff, I would enjoy that, yes.
Yeah,
the gorilla suit and the space helmet stuff. And
it's
all
a lot
that,
of
yes.
fun. And actually, one of my other favourites is a film called Offbeat, which is a Swiss film about Rapping Brothers. And,
Rapping Brothers from Switzerland. Somehow
yeah,
it doesn't
little,
kind of go together. To
no,
my,
no, it's a strange
brain.
Combination, isn't it? But
across
it's
the mountains.
It's a little bit, it reminded me a bit of Train Spotting and
Shaw Platter Rapping.
And what was that? What was that film with, I forgot his name. 8 Mile. It reminds me of 8 Mile and Trainspotting. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, interesting film. And you don't get a lot of gay-themed rap films, that's for sure.
No. Well, no, not from anywhere. And from Switzerland?
Strange.
No yodeling.
But a good one. There's definitely no yodeling.
Hopefully. No. Oh, please, no yodeling.
Leather
no
chaps?
Yodeling.
Maybe.
Well, Lederhosen, maybe? Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. It's there's a grey area there, shall we say.
Sound of music.
Okay. Lisa, thank you very much for coming up and taking time out from your board meeting to come and say hello.
Thank goodness for that. Hope they're not listening.
Well, hopefully they're getting on with the business
yes,
without
you. Yes, I hope
you.
So, yes.
Well, I hope they haven't transacted any business you're going to have to reverse when you get down
I
there.
I hope not. So.
Well, it sounds like you're kicking off to a good start.
Yeah, ticket selling well. Don't leave it. Don't dilly-dally. Nope.
And, of course, the link to the website is on my website, rainbowreporter.com, but it's what?
MQFF.com.au. Full ticketing website.
Which is easy to remember.
Easy.
Lisa, thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
You're listening to The Rainbow Report.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.